This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my fabulous service dog, Fenway. And we're thrilled to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we are welcoming Tamara Martin. And Tamara has spent over 40 years in the criminal justice system. She's worked with both offenders and victims of crime. And she and her first dog, Willow, actually started the first statewide facility dog program in the United States. And presently, Tamara is employed by the Office of Prosecution Services based in Montgomery, Alabama, with her facility dog for the HERO program. So we're so excited to be talking to Tamara today about all her experience with facility dogs. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Tamara Martin to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're thrilled to have Tamara Martin with us today. Hello, Tamara, and welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited. You are just one of those people that knows all about facility dogs, and we're so excited to talk with you about that today. So tell us, Tamara, how did you get started in the facility dog world?
So, like you said in the intro, I started working with victims back in the early 80s and worked several really tough cases, a lot of rape cases and things like that. So I started asking around. I read an article about facility dogs and how they were working in the court system. And so I asked some of the victims I had worked with previously if they thought that would have made a difference and would have helped them. And they all said yes. They thought that would have been great to have that support. So I retired from the federal courts in 2013 and started the facility dog program in 2014.
Wow. You are a trailblazer. That was right at the beginning, Tamara. That's awesome.
Yes, it was. I think when I started working with Willow, there were about 50 somewhere around 50 facility dogs working in the court system in the United States. And now I think it's up to like 350.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, how did you get your program started? How'd you get trained and get Willow? What was your path?
So I contacted Courthouse Dogs Foundation first. And
who we love. Learned as, yep.
Yep. Learned as much as I could from them and still learn from them to this day. But they kind of guided me through how to go about applying for a facility dog from a service dog organization that's accredited by Assistance Dogs International. And so I went online, submitted my application. There were several steps to that process. And once I was approved, and they invited me to come to team training where I was matched with Willow. And that's a 2-week class that you take. You live there on campus. And so they teach you all about dogs and training and all this type of stuff and just everything, the important stuff that you need to know.
And Tamara, where were you working at the time? Were you doing that as yourself?
I was.
Yeah.
I was a volunteer. At that point, I was a volunteer for myself and funded it. But then I went on to volunteer for the One Place Family Justice Center here in Montgomery. Willow and I were the first ones to be placed in a family justice center. So it was a new concept for them.
Yeah. And did you get them to agree to that before you went and got Willow?
Yes. Yes. I had to have, you know, people sign off, like the director of the Family Justice Center had to sign a form. Yes, we were be allowed to come there and work. The prosecuting attorney had to sign off on it as well. So there was a lot of paperwork involved before we ever got to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, I know our listeners are so interested in that, of what's the process, because it is quite a process that you have to go to make sure you have an organization that you can work with either as a paid staff member or as a volunteer. Yeah.
I think now pretty much it's standard that you have to be a paid employee that works in the criminal justice system. So that was, that was what? 15 years ago, 12 years ago. And so things have changed a lot. So it's now you have to be a paid employee.
Yeah. And I know a lot of other places like domestic violence shelters and other programs will accept volunteers, but you're right. It seems like the program can be more effective too, because if you are an employee, then everybody's got skin in the game, right? And so they care about what's happening and policies and all of those things can get implemented. At least that's what I see, is it seems like that is, it makes it an effective program when you have that kind of organizational support.
Right. I agree. It does. It does.
And so you went to Canine Companions for Independence? That's the agency.
I did, in the Southeast region down in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I bet that was really amazing being there for 2 weeks.
It was. It was. I initially, whenever I was told that I would have to stay down there for 2 weeks, I was thinking, 2 weeks, what are we going to do for 2 weeks? But I will tell you, I learned so much it's like brain overload. And then, we stayed busy the entire time. We even trained on Saturdays. And then it gives you a lot of time to bond with your dog, to make sure that you and your dog are going to be a good fit together.
Yeah. And tell us about when you were matched with Willow. How was that? Was it love at first sight?
It was. It was when I first met her. She was the very first dog I worked with. And I thought, oh my gosh, I like this dog. I just think we could be great together. And then I worked with several other dogs and I kept thinking, where'd Willow go?
Right.
And
right.
So, but then we call it pre-match Wednesday. So on Wednesday morning, they give you the dog that you're pre-matched with. And if everything works out, then that's who you graduate with. If it doesn't, then they've got another dog that they can work with you in making sure that the placement is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, once we were pre-matched on that Wednesday, it was just great.
It was a done deal. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so wonderful. I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been through that process and it is. It is. It's just pure magic. Yeah.
Right. It is.
Well, and so when you got each other and you came back after you finished and graduated that 2 weeks, what happened then, Tamara?
So we started working or volunteering at the Family Justice Center, and I will say it was a little slow. People kind of didn't understand how to incorporate the dog into what their normal work was, working with victims as they came into the Family Justice Center. So I had to do a lot of educating of the different ways that they could utilize her and them show them how she actually worked, did the different commands that she had or tasks that she could do to help people feel more comfortable and feel safe.
Yeah.
And so once they saw it with their own eyes, that was a game changer. At that point, people were constantly calling us, hey, can you come here for this case? Can you do that? And that's eventually how I expanded out of the Family Justice Center.
And is that when you went to where you are now?
No, actually, I went to the Child Advocacy Center first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 3 years. And at that point, that's when the Office of Prosecution Services, Tricia Melberg-Cater, reached out to me and said, Tamara, I hear so many great things about this program. we've got to get it statewide. Will you help me?
And yeah. I said, yes. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's yes. just, yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, I have so many questions for you, Tamara. First of all, tell us in that about the tasks that Willow would do. What kind of tasks and commands did she perform?
One, she did what we called a cover, which was where she would lay her body across the witness or victim or whoever she was working with, the client that she was working with, would lay her body across them. It's a way of grounding them. She could sense their emotion and anxiety, things like that. So she would actually start working without me even telling her anything to do. She would nudge them, just kind of start loving on them to help them calm down. She could pick things up for them. That usually was just a way of getting us to start kind of interacting together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then she could, when we would go to court, she could lay at their feet because these dogs are very quiet. They're very still and they can maintain a long down stay. And so she, you know, we go to court with them, that type of thing. It was just, you just have to see it in order to get it. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's what people always say, well, what'd she do? And I say, well, you watch and you'll see. And then they'll look at you with tears in their eyes. They'll say, that is just unreal. But, you know, all of our facility dogs are purpose bred. And so they're bred to detect anxiety and stress. They know how to help mitigate that stress and anxiety so that people feel more calm and are able to actually communicate better.
Hard, really hard things. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Really yes. hard, scary things that they have to say in public. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, with the children, we do a lot of, we play games to build that trust.
Well, I was going to say, tell me about the games.
Yeah. So the games they can play cards, they can turn the pages of a book, they can play Ooh. That bumblebee tree
yeah.
game where you pull the leaves out. We taught some of our dogs how to bowl and how to draw on the iPad.
Uh-huh.
They can also draw and paint on like a canvas or something if you want to, you know, tote those types of things around. But we taught them a lot of different things that the kids love for the dogs to show off.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, I was going to share, I have seen them in action, Tamara. And
oh,
you're
great.
Right. Yeah, there is. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it is. It is. And it is something you have to behold. It really, really is.
Right. It's just hard to describe what you see, the magic that you see.
Yeah,
you
know? I was going to say, it's hard to define and articulate magic. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, there are no words that really describe what you see. And that's why I tell everybody, you just have to see it. I can't really tell you. It's just the magic that these dogs have.
It's incredible. It yeah. is. It's pure innocence and just so genuine. Yeah.
Right.
And the presence, the level of presence that they have.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It
makes me tingle all over. Yeah. It's just amazing. Yeah. Really amazing to behold. How was it teaching them the games? Was that challenging or, yeah, tell us about that and how you worked on it.
So we actually contracted, I guess you would say, with a lady out of Idaho that is very good at teaching dogs tricks and things. She's actually has a facility dog herself. She works as an occupational therapist tech or something. Anyway, she uses her dogs doing that. And she has lots and lots of games that she teaches her dogs to do. So we had her come down and take 2 days to teach us, one, how to teach our dogs, but also to help us, you know, be there, help us teach the dogs how to, like, play musical chairs. I'm trying to think what all she taught. It's so many things.
Wow.
And it was so fun. The dogs loved it. The humans loved it.
Yeah.
And it's a great bonding, too, with your dog.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
You know, yeah, she's phenomenal. And so we were very good. And we even brought her back a second time to come back and kind of refresh. We had a few new team members. And so she came back, she kind of helped them. And then we worked on some other types of games that we didn't get to play before.
Oh, that was so smart. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really great that you continue to enhance your program and let it evolve. Yeah, it sounds like it's really evolved from when you first started. How many dogs does the program have now?
We have 12. We have
Wow,
12. Yeah,
Tamara,
I
12
know.
dogs.
I
That's
know.
phenomenal.
It
Yeah.
is. It is. I'm very proud of it. Whenever I first talked to Ellen and Celeste at Courthouse Dogs Foundation and went to their conference in 2013, and that's when I started learning about exactly what the dogs do, how they work, that type of thing. And so Ellen said, the perfect program would be a statewide program. And I was thinking, oh, why aren't people doing that? I mean, it does make sense. It would be a statewide that every victim or witness in a state would have access to the same type of
Yes, it does.
tools, in a way to help them feel calm and safe and, secure. And
Yeah.
so I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that. And so I did. I will say, one time I read something that said that dreaming is a form of planning.
Yes, it
And
is.
so that was my dream. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. And so I did.
You did it. You are unstoppable, Tamara. I love it. I love it. Well,
Thank you.
we're going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors who we love, but we want to come right back and continue visiting with Tamara Martin. So much more to talk about, so come right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We are visiting today with Tamara Martin, a facility dog handler and tremendous leader and unstoppable woman who is working with the Office of Prosecution Services in Montgomery, Alabama, and talking to us about their statewide facility dog program. And wow, you said 12 dogs and you're statewide. So are you over that program, Tamara? Do you supervise all those handlers or how does that work?
Yes, I am over all of those handlers.
Congratulations. How fun.
Thank you. I have a great group. I have to say that, I know they do their job. They do their job great. And they're just really good teams. And so I'm very blessed to have them on my team. So the way our program works is anyone in the state, it can be law enforcement, a child advocacy center, a SANE nurse that does forensic medical exams. It can be therapy sessions, anything can, if they have a client that they feel like would benefit from the support of a facility dog being with them, then they can reach out to me and schedule that appointment. But there has to be some type of element of crime, or at least either alleged or either they were a witness of a crime, in order for us to be able to work with them, just because we are grant funded and we get our funding from the Office of Victims.
Is it VOCA
Yeah,
funding,
it's
Tamara?
VOCA.
Yeah,
Yeah, it
Victims
is
of Crime
VOCA.
Act funding. That's what I thought.
I was thinking, I drew a blank there for a minute.
Yeah, and I'm in this world. So, yes, I know exactly what you're talking
Yes.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so cool because I believe you were the first one to actually get that, to get funding for a statewide facility dog program from VOCA. That's a landmark achievement, Tamara. That was really wonderful.
It was, I will say, I was very hopeful, but I was a little shocked.
Yeah, that was visionary. Yeah, that was visionary of them. Yeah, the Victims of Crime Act to our, for our listeners is actually federal funding that comes to states for crime victim services. So it's pretty amazing. That's usually goes to prosecutors' offices and domestic violence, rape crisis programs for direct services. But facility dogs had never been one of those direct services. So I'm so happy that it is now.
Yes, me too. It's been great.
So they're based all over the state in different offices, or how is it organized?
So they are based all over the state. So the state is broken up into regions. We have 12 regions, and each dog is responsible to work the cases in those regions. And so I'll get a request, and then I will reach out to them and say, here's a request in your region. And then they can go work that request. If they are already committed to another appointment, then I can always send someone from one of the other regions that's close by over there.
Are they all full time, Tamara?
So, yes, they're all full time, but only seven of them are actually on our payroll. Some of the child advocacy centers, they actually have, like on two of them, the director of the center is actually the facility dog handler. So we signed a memorandum of understanding with them. And so we help them out with certain things like training, sometimes food, supplies for the dogs, things like that. In return, they help us by working cases outside of their child advocacy center.
Oh, nice. So it's a really nice collaboration.
Yes.
Which is also so important.
Right.
Well, that's such a great, great model.
It is. I think it's very unique and just one that we want to make sure that all victims in the state of Alabama are taken care of. And so, it's a great way of doing that by knowing that we have a dog right there that can
Oh,
get to you
yeah.
pretty quick if they needed to.
That's wonderful that they're regional so that they are close by because time is of the essence.
Yes.
Well, and so you have a different facility dog right now, right?
I do. I
Yeah.
do. Willow retired in May of 2021. She had some health issues, and so we decided that it was time for her to retire. And so I went back to team training for the 2 weeks, and I then was matched with Yahini. It's Yahini. We call her Yaya.
Oh,
And
cute.
so, she's a full golden. Willow was a golden lab mix, black, super sweet. And Yahini is a full golden. She's super sweet. She's got so much personality, and the kids just love it because she does funny things, and she has a great work ethic. But she's sometimes she'll be kind of silly with some of her little games that she plays, and the kids think that's really fun.
Oh, I bet they do. I know they love that.
Yes.
That's so great. Well, tell me, because I know so many people are, like you said, facility dog programs have grown so much in the United States. What would you say are your top three lessons, Tamara, that you learned about starting and implementing a successful facility dog program?
Okay. Number one, it's not easy, but it's worth the work. That, you have to be patient, give it time to grow and for people to figure out how this really works and see the benefit and how it makes their job easier. And then I think the next thing was just that personal contacts are so important for as far as starting a program. So I used to tell my handlers whenever we were starting out, if you don't have an appointment, somewhere to be, then you need to be in a DA's office or a child advocacy center or whatever, and letting them get to know your dog and let them see the difference that the dog can make. Because what we don't realize is that sometimes staff may be dealing with things, personal things or whatever, and the dogs will really pick up on that, and they'll start working with that person. Well, then that person realizes, wow, I feel a lot better. And so then they can actually say, well, now I can see how this would help a victim or a witness. So it kind of opens their eyes to that.
And demonstrates it. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It sure does. And then just teach everybody, tell everybody about it. I don't think, the more people that know, the more support you'll get, either just you know, whether it's monetary or if it's, you know, just people knowing and spreading the word about what you're doing. So, but it's not an easy job. I will say one of our handlers, we always laugh because, you know, you've got an expensive dog. You got a very well-trained dog and there's a lot of care that goes into that. You have to brush them every day, brush their teeth, keep their nails trimmed, keep them bathed, take them out. You know, you've got 5 minutes before you got to be in court and you want to make sure that your dog has used the restroom.
Right.
That they're willing ready. That they're gonna be able to, it's ready and it can stay in there for an hour or 2 hours if it needed to. And you're trying to get this dog to go to the bathroom and get in court at the same time. Anyway, it's a challenge. There's a stressful side of it.
Yeah. Well, our listeners know I always equate it to these dogs are like Olympic athletes and they have to be cared for that way with the best food, the best vet care. They've got to be at their fittest all the time. Yeah.
They
it's
sure
a lot
do.
Of work.
You're right.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of maintenance. Yeah. Yeah. You can't get lazy. Mm-mm.
No, you cannot. And I also tell people, you know, we don't get called in because the child fell down, skinned their knee. We get called in because of some really sometimes very sad, terrible things that happen.
Horrible. Yes.
So you really have to know that you can work with those types. After you hear those types of things, you need to make sure that you yourself are prepared for that and that's something that you will not always take home with you. You know, we always, you know, you take a little bit of it home with you, but you definitely have to have a good support system and a way of caring for yourself.
Yes, I was going to say self-care is critical.
Self-care.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for saying that, Tamara, because it is. And you're right. This work, not only do you have this incredible Olympic animal you have to care for, but you also have to care for yourself. Yes, it's so intense and can be very traumatizing. Yeah, to be in those highly intensive situations every day. Well, you are such a wonderful leader for us in this effort. Tell us, Tamara, about your participation International Board of Directors for Courthouse Facility Dogs Foundation. Because are you still doing that, Tamara?
I am. I'm chairman of the board this year.
Well, yes, you are then. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes, I am. And I also do a lot of training for them and
I bet.
Outreach and working with individuals as well as, you know, us. If a state wants to start a statewide program, then, you know, I'll work with them as well, along with Celeste and Felicia. Felicia's our CEO.
Yes.
And then doing anything I can for Courthouse Dogs. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, they can call me, hey, can you reach out to this person? And sure. And so I do a little bit of all.
Well, it sounds like it. And what other states have a statewide program or are looking at having one, Tamara?
So Arkansas has one.
Oh, good.
Yes, they've had theirs for a couple of years now. They have three handlers, and then they're working on getting additional handlers because they see the need. You know, they've got a lot of requests. And then there's some other states I know Tennessee is looking and working towards that. And I believe that there may be some, I know that there are other states, but I hate to say.
I know. Yeah, it's okay.
But yeah, we've got other states that are looking at it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear for Arkansas and then that there are others. Yeah, it's interesting. They're in the South, you guys.
I know.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
We've had other countries reach out, you know, about it as well, which
is great.
What
other countries? Yeah. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, we've worked with Australia France.
Yes, yes, yes. Australia, they are really a huge leader in all kinds of assistance dogs. And I know France is really working to enhance their direct service.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think we've talked to about 9 different countries.
Countries. Wow. Wow. Well, Celeste and Felicia are going to be with us soon. Yep, they're coming to the show. So we're excited to have them and to visit with them about all the work that they're doing, both in the United States and globally. Yeah, because you guys are really on the forefront.
We are, and something that I am very proud of.
Well, I have to ask you before you leave us today, what is your vision for the future, Tamara? What do you want to see in your state and for facility dogs globally?
So in my state, I would like to see us, we don't have enough dogs. You would think 12 would be enough, but we don't. We have to prioritize our cases, with court being, you know, the most important and therapy being the bottom, but not that that's not, that they're not important in therapy. They're very important, but just we have to prioritize. So I would like to get more dogs, and I would like to get more stable funding and not have to depend on a grant.
Yeah.
Because that's challenging it.
It is. It is. Yeah. To grow your program and to get sustainable funding. And what about for the nation and globally? What are your thoughts?
Oh, well, we would love to have, we would love to have a courthouse facility dog program in every country. There are a lot of countries that don't have courthouse facility dogs. So we would love to see that they get a program started. And because the programs, once you get them started, they'll grow. But just because of the work that the dogs do and the difference that they make.
Yeah, but you're right. It's finding those right handlers and the right organizations that really have the vision and are adaptive and innovative. So important. Well, before you leave us, I can't believe our time is ending, but tell our listeners, Tamara, how they could get more information about your program, about courthouse facility dogs. Yeah, tell us.
So you can contact me at Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, at courthousedogs.org, or you can, I'll give you my cell phone number, 334-312-5801.
5801. Okay, awesome. And we will put that up on our website for our listeners so they can access you and get a hold of you.
Perfect.
And you said that's Tamara at courthousedogs.org.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Are you on any social media, Tamara, that you want to share?
Yes. So we have a hero page, help empower, restore, and overcome. I don't remember what the real page is.
Empower, restore, and overcome. Oh, I love that. That is what it's all about. Well, we'll find that page and we'll put it on for our listeners. So thank you so much for being with us, Tamara. Thank you for your dedication. I mean, you're a superstar, Tamara. Yep. You and Yaya. Love that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But, you know, I've had a lot of help, so I haven't done it by myself. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know it's a team effort, but it takes leadership. And that's what you've done and your passion, Tamara. That's so clear. And that's what it takes to get something like this started and sustained for all this time. So thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing every day. Yeah. It's
so important.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Yeah. Well, you got to come back and tell us what you guys are up to and how many more dogs you have. You'll probably have 24 dogs by that time.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so too. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listeners, for being with us. We're so glad you could be with us today. We love hearing from you. So please keep your emails coming. And you know that you can reach me and Fenway at Marcie, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. So let's stay connected and you take good care.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.